The Road, the Stage returns.
Make magic happen. Where have you been?
I've been living in Calgary.
I know.
Adjusting to my new life.
I wander the streets of Red Deer every day.
You know,
Whispering Patrick.
It's been 2 weeks since I was in Red Deer, and I drove in today. and on my way to the studio, I saw a gentleman. You might say we look a little similar hairstyle and beard.
Was it Ryan from the Sheepdogs?
It was not, but no. He did look like a wizard.
Oh, wow.
He was walking around on Taylor and Red Deer with a giant staff and a long trench coat.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that guy. The long trench coat. Yeah.
Is he a new character in town?
That's the first time I saw him just this past weekend. He was actually walking through my neighborhood and I'm like,
staff?
What?
Did he have a staff?
He had the staff. Full jacket. And the day that I saw him too was like a 28 degree. This was just before one of those hot days. And I'm like, as soon as you see like a trench coat, you're like, okay,
he's got
what's
a pretty gray
here?
Beard, I think.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of shorter.
Yeah.
Hair's not as long as mine.
Did he have a hat? I feel he had a hat on.
He looked like a wizard.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Leave Red Deer for a month and a half, and now there's a wizard roaming the streets.
Yeah, well, you should have stuck around. I think it's very conceited of you to think that you look like a wizard.
Well, I didn't. No. He has a staff, Peter. I established he has a staff.
Okay. Now you want one too.
Yeah, I should start walking around Calgary with a staff.
You should have a staff.
Yeah, no, I've just been adjusting to whatever the hell I'm doing. I've been reading a lot.
Yeah.
I'm reading a lot.
What about not like you're not familiar with Calgary, but there's a lot of open space to go and enjoy, right?
Yeah, and we live we live on the southwest or east corner of downtown.
Do I get to know the address?
Yeah, we live on 25th Ave.
The exact address, so I can come by and visit anytime I'm in
Calgary? 25th Ave. So we live right off of 4th Street, basically. So
you're right in the...
It's honestly been kind of hard because food.
There's so much good
fucking food. But we're also in a position where I have the time to cook all the time. So we've been picking and choosing when we order food. But the other day I was walking just out for a walk, stretching my legs. And then I saw this like cheese shop that sells really nice looking like sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, Kayla, we're getting sandwiches tomorrow. And that was my day.
Wow.
Some sandwiches.
Okay, I don't want people thinking that you're just like this unemployed dude riding off the coattails.
No, I'm
lovely.
Half employed. I'm half
other
employed
half,
at this
but
yeah. But yeah, no, it's been interesting. I still have not been to any shows, but I've got lots to look forward to.
Honestly, it's been quiet.
It's been really quiet.
All the way around.
Like Riley and I missed the only Bow show in the last few weeks, it seems.
Which was
Big Sugar.
Okay.
We were in Regina filming this really sick band. You'll be hearing more about that soon. But that was like, other than that, we haven't really missed too much.
It's funny. I had somebody that had talked to me during that show and kind of during the show.
You hear them?
Well, so the next morning she texted me and said, "You were wearing earplugs last night, weren't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's a Big Sugar show."
Yeah.
She's like, "I wish I had done that."
Are you using those earplugs that we were gifted at the station years ago?
No, those are fucking weird. They
hurt.
Like,
those are like construction
almost like plungers. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I didn't.
What do you use? Just the orange?
Just the whatever shit you get at the drugstore.
I kind of want to spend money on some decent earplugs.
I've talked to my kid about doing that.
Yeah.
And the one thing
I've
also wondered too, like I just got a pair of nicer earbuds, like noise canceling earbuds. Mm-hmm. Do people use those?
I've never seen it, but I'm also not typically looking in ear holes at shows.
You're not?
No.
Huh. Interesting. That's like maybe I should stop.
And
doing
if
that.
I'm talking to you at a show and looking into your ear hole, it means that I have to talk too loud and we probably shouldn't be talking at all.
Well, because I usually do have earplugs in, I just lead with my ear.
So this
is the good one.
Look at the bright orange foam in my ear hole.
It was a great show. You had a good weekend, too. I'm sure that was probably a lot of fun in Regina. But, yeah, Gordy just puts on a clinic. I could just watch that guy play guitar for hours and hours
and
hours.
And that's, like, the third
end.
Show at Bow's in 12, 15, 16 months, something like that.
When you live, sometimes
live 100%.
Not too far away.
Yeah, and people love seeing Big Sugar.
Yes.
Doesn't matter how often, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sad I missed that one, but on the flip side, I have had many opportunities to see them in the last year. So it was an all right trip to Regina.
And you said you've got shows to look forward to?
Yeah,
so what have you?
May 24th or 5th, it's this wild show at the Palace in Calgary. It's fucked up, so hardcore.
And when was the last time you saw Fucked Up? Because that's like, that's a big band for you.
Yeah. Honestly, probably 10 years.
Okay.
Fucked Up. Hallucination, formerly known as A Tribe Called Red, and wrestling. So hardcore,
wrestling is part of the
hardcore DJing slash electronic wrestling.
Wrestling closes the show?
I don't know. I have no idea. But
wouldn't that be cool if it was a sandwich in the
middle? I think it might
be.
I think
so. Are they performing in the ring, the bands?
I couldn't tell you. It's the Unity Tour.
Wow. Yeah, you just buy tickets to that shit and see what happens when you get there.
Yeah, so I can't wait. I think Riley's coming down with us.
What? Who's the wrestling outfit? Is it like a national touring?
No idea. I'm going in with the only expectation I have is that it will be really good.
Okay. Last live wrestling event you were at?
That would have been about 5 years ago. Funny enough, when I was in Toronto a month ago, went and hung out at our friend's house, and those are the people that got us into wrestling years and years ago. We ended up watching a little wrestling when we were there because it was the day after WrestleMania. And I was like, this is pretty good. I can see myself maybe sinking back into this. So every couple of days I'll check the news and see updates. And I saw they're bringing SmackDown to Calgary. Interesting.
When is that?
I think it's June.
What's the rival?
Raw. AEW.
AEW is coming during Stampede, I think.
To Calgary?
To Calgary, yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Yep.
Which
interesting.
Is AEW better?
Some people feel that way. Yeah? I think it ebbs and flows, though. Okay. Because now McMahon's back in the picture for WWE. So, anyways, who fucking knows?
Have we ever talked about the wrestling experience I had here in the early days?
Not when you were in the ring. You've told us about the Hull story.
Yes.
Behind the arena.
Yeah. So,
but no.
This was early on in my time in Red Deer, so early 2000s.
Yeah, and I've heard the radio spots, actually.
Yeah, so and it was a house show that came in. It wasn't
proper WWF.
Proper WWF at the time, house show. Yeah. I think they were probably doing a Raw or something in Edmonton or Calgary, this was just a one-off. But what they did is we had two radio stations at the time that competed. So it was Big 105 and Z99 were pretty much the only two FM stations at the time. So they thought it'd be kind of fun to have somebody from one station do a little thing with somebody from the other station. So I signed up. I was like, yeah. And then the guy from the Zed was a big wrestling fan as well. So
Travis, was it?
No, it wasn't Travis. Okay, was probably pre-Travis. Adam Hamilton is the guy's name. And anyways, we like got signed up for it. And they said, okay, we want you guys to start the show.
Wow.
Come up with what you're going to do. And we're like, what? So him and I got together and we kind of worked out a little angle and a little like very classic. We were going to have an arm wrestling match to kick off the show. And then I was going to win the arm wrestling match.
Yeah.
And then when I was up celebrating, he grabbed his chair and thunked me over, which is what we did. We got to do that.
You did that.
We did that to kick off the show, which was obviously a highlight. But honestly, the bigger highlight was preparing to go out there. We got to be backstage.
Yeah.
Sitting in the area where all of the wrestlers.
I believe it's called Gorilla.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Okay, so Gorilla, everybody's back there. The pregame meal was pizza. There was just like boxes and boxes of pizza, and everybody'd come up and grab or whatever. And we were just like these two kids in the corner, like, oh my God, that's all they told me. So we had like Rob Van Dam, I remember coming over and asking what we were doing there and had a good chat with us. Paul White, who I forget who he would have, Big Show, I guess, at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember him grabbing like mittfuls of pizza. But Stone Cold Steve Austin was there.
Yeah.
But he held court in the corner. He was in a chair with, who was his manager at the time, the black-haired...
with the tux. Like, not...
it was a female.
Oh, I don't know.
Sherry?
Maybe.
Anyways.
I don't know.
The two of them were in the corner sitting on this chair. They didn't roam around.
Yeah.
Anybody that wanted to talk to them went over and talked to them.
Right.
But everybody else was just kind of milling about. And and there we were, just these doe-eyed kids, like, holy shit.
Part of the Big Show for a minute.
Yeah.
That's sick. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was really, really fun.
I don't know if I've heard that full story because I don't remember you actually getting to do that ring stuff.
Well, and that's honestly, so again, as we've talked about
footage?
Before, I mean, this is pre, early 2000s, so that's pre having a camera readily available. And that was at the time, so I like was big into wrestling all through childhood, then kind of got out a little bit mid-90s, and then obviously the Generation X and the Attitude Era brought me back, and then probably until about 2004, 2005. So, but anyways, I would have been in my hardcore watching Raw.
That's sick. I mean, I remember that. It's funny you mentioned Rob Van Dam because that's the first wrestler I really remember because he just looked cool and he did that 5-star frog splash that looked sweet. And I remember being like 7 or 8 and having wrestling on the television being like, oh, that guy's sick.
And that's why I was glad he was the one to come over too. Like he was so, so nice. Other people were nice and gave hellos and whatever, but he actually came over to talk to us.
Isn't he like the pothead of pro wrestling
or something? I think that would fit the bill for sure.
Yeah, no, it's and then what have you just been sinking into 8 hours of baseball every day for the last 3 weeks?
It's been a love hate. It's been a shaky start to the season for my team, but yeah, there's been a lot of baseball watching, for sure.
Yeah,
And a little bit of hockey thrown in as well.
Your kid's team got eliminated last night, right?
I actually went down to his room to see how he was doing with the game. At that point, it was tied, and he didn't even have it on. He just couldn't. He knew.
Yeah.
He knew that it wasn't going to go well. So I'm like, dude. Anyways, probably better for him to have not seen it go down in overtime. And
so you're cheering for the Leafs now? Oilers?
I don't know who he'll jump on board with. I think he'll just enjoy. Yeah. I don't know that he'll necessarily get behind anybody. By the time this gets out to people, I mean, who knows what kind of state the world will be in, but your team has been, well, all of the excitement of making the second round, and then,
yeah,
like, it was just so much talk about a potential, like, Oilers, Leafs, fuck, this could happen, and then,
I mean,
this isn't likely to happen.
Who knows what's going to happen? I'm not, I watched the game four the other night with my fingers over my eyes.
Yeah.
But it's been tough. Like it's tough. I never played hockey growing up. Never played organized hockey, anyways. But so I don't see the same things that other people see. And Toronto, the media there is pretty crazy, and the fan base is massive, and there's a lot of whiners. But I don't totally understand the criticisms that I've been reading and listening to over the last week. Like, I've been watching the games, and they've been trying. Like, Florida's fucking good.
Yeah.
Who knew?
And
turns out they're really good.
It's that type of shit that, honestly, I mean, as you know, I was a diehard, devoted hockey fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one of the reasons that I did take a step back as well is that over-criticism. Like, you know, you'd watch Hockey Night in Canada and the intermission shows, and all they would do is shit all over.
Yeah.
Like, nothing was ever good enough. This needs to change. That needs to change.
Yeah.
It was just so overly critical, and I just, like, eventually bought into it. I'm like, okay, well, I guess this game sucks. I'll go find something else to watch.
And now the world of baseball owns Peter Michaels.
Which, I mean, doesn't matter. Every sport's got its...
I've been watching Eastbound and Down lately.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever watch that?
I did not. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces, but I know enough about...
I showed my brother the first season because he would have been, like, 10 when it came out.
Yeah.
But I showed it to him when I was home a month ago, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing. It's like some pretty insane writing.
Yeah.
Pretty insane jokes on that show. And but I am enjoying it, and I'm enjoying the baseball aspect of it too.
And have they made new? Have they gone back to it?
No.
Okay, so it did end. And
they're onto the religion.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's the one that he's doing.
Which is also very
John Goodman was in that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
New season's coming out soon.
Yeah, we haven't, because baseball season is on again, so there hasn't been a ton of watching.
And you haven't been to concerts.
And concerts have been quiet. I did get around to watching the Jason Isbell documentary.
Oh, how was it?
It was phenomenal.
Was it?
Like, it's such a great insight into, you know, we take a look at, you know, I think we both love Jack White.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love the most about Jack White is it shows it's all audibles. Like, nobody knows what the next song is until Jack turns around and says, we're doing this, which is fun and dangerous and exciting. So the whole recording, and I'm not sure if Isbell's done this for all of it, but so the show documents the making of the Reunions album, and then there's a lot of...
Which is the newest record?
There's a Georgia tribute that he did after that. But it's all covers. So this is the latest original studio record, and so... A lot of the documentary delves into his relationship with his wife, which is very, very interesting. And, you know, obviously his past as a raging alcoholic and not being the greatest guy. So there's lots of that in there. But the interesting part from the music side is his philosophy going into it was he writes the songs. The band does not get to hear the song until they record it.
Oh.
So he'll sit down and play it for them in the studio just to show them what it is. And they all take their notes and what they need to do. And then they go cut it.
Good God, it sounds like a lot of homework.
Yeah, like it would be incredibly tricky. But I think the philosophy on it was something to the effect of you only get a chance to create something once.
Right.
Once you've done that, once it's created, now you're just essentially practicing it or recreating it.
Does everyone get a limited allotment of take backs?
So that's the one thing they don't show is if I imagine there's got to be some of that.
Dude, I really hate what I put down there 2 hours ago. Can I please go? No!
Well, at the same time, he can be a little controlling in the studio is what they get to in the documentary a bit.
I saw the trailer and it looked interesting. It looked quite heavy. But I just can't get into the music.
No?
No.
To
not him specifically.
Country or to...
I don't know what it is. So I listened to like, I don't know, 5 or 6 songs off of a couple different albums. Maybe it's his voice.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it was a niche of country western that I wasn't, definitely isn't vibing with me.
Interesting.
But I don't know. I'm finding, because like everyone's fucking losing their minds all over this Charlie Crockett fella, and that's fine. I got nothing against it, but... Like 2 songs, that's all I need. And if there are no horns in the songs, I don't need 2 songs at all.
Wow. Well, and luckily there's quite a few songs that have
yes
horns in them.
Yes.
But all right. Okay. But yeah, well, and we're on opposite ends of that.
And I've spent a lot of time with Charlie Crockett at this point. But another band released a new song yesterday, Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, yeah.
You like it?
I like it. You didn't like it?
I don't know.
Like, it's not
pretty classic rock.
I was just gonna say it's not stretching any boundaries by any means.
I like every time they bring in, like, they introduce one of the sections of the song. I like it.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, I don't know. I don't, and I'm trying to remember if I've appreciated every Queen single that comes out. Usually their singles are pretty radio friendly right off the bat.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, like, Songs for the Deaf, No One Knows was the first single off of that.
Well, yeah, more recently, like, the album before, what was the last record?
Yeah, I can't.
The album before that was I Sat by the Ocean.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So all of those are very...
And I Sat by the Ocean leaned definitely towards that classic rock kind of thing.
Yep, you're right. But I guess I just need to hear the full product.
I was just going to say, because I think that's the case with a lot of Queen stuff too, is there always is, seems to be a couple of more radio-friendly type songs, but the rest of the album... Because I remember, the first track on that last album, it's got kind of a little carnival theme to it, and it kind of builds...
Is that the one we used for the Rebels?
That might have been the one that we used for the Rebels that year.
But the thing that I remember about that, and I'm a huge Queens fan, I always have been, when that album came out at 10 p.m. West our time on a Thursday night or whenever it was, I remember I was still smoking at the time. I had gotten home from work because it was 10 p.m. I was having a cigarette, realized the new Queens album was out, put on the first song, and in 10 seconds I was grinning from ear to ear. It was just like... they always kick albums off in such a spectacular way conceptually, I think. So, yeah, I'm not letting this affect my judgment necessarily.
See if this is a philosophy or not, but I think it would only be natural to get more critical of a band the more albums deep they go, right?
Well, you can't expect them all to write winners every 2, 3, 4, 5 years, yeah.
You can't?
I don't think so, no.
No, honestly, you can't. and because you've
If they do, great, that's awesome.
Wow, that comes back to that age-old adage of
the name slump or whatever.
Or name a band that's got more than four great great albums.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Which is tough to do. But I honestly think that's probably part of it, too. Is, again, the fandom grows with every passing year. Expectations go up.
Yeah.
So you're probably a little bit more critical hearing something for the first time.
Yep, that's true. But I don't know. We'll see. I've listened to the song 3 times now. It's a pretty decent spin rate for a 24-hour old song.
Yep.
But
I think I've gone through it at least.
I'm sure I'll warm up to it far more. I'm also in the Polaris voting as tomorrow night.
Oh, shit.
And it's tomorrow night, so I've also been in major Polaris crunch.
I did. It's too bad Ryan had to take off out of here because another band of ours that we're friends with is Wail and the Wolf released a new song today as well.
I haven't heard it yet.
And they've posted a video and Cooley's, I think, some hand claps or something.
I didn't know that.
Talk about that wonderful recording process.
Did he get credits?
I don't know. He's in the video, so I don't know if there's credits or... I don't know. But he had to take off. So that's a story for another day, I guess. But a good tune from those guys.
So what's the next concert you have to look forward to? Dirty Nil and Daniel Romano?
Dirty Nil for sure here. And then I'm seeing Isbell again the first weekend of July.
In Montana. Right.
And then I did just randomly book, and I hate myself for doing this.
Uh-oh.
I booked a trip to Chicago.
Motley Crue.
Yeah, to go see Motley Crue on their last tour for the 56th time.
Chicago for what?
Pearl Jam.
Oh. Their and hometown.
Eddie's...
Or not their home.
Seattle's home, Eddie's originally
Their Wrigley Chicago. Field shows are pretty legendary, though, right? Have you been?
No, I've never been to Wrigley. So this is what sold the deal. I was like, it's been, and Pearl Jam's a top 5 band for me, and it's been 6 years, I think, since I've seen them last.
No way.
Yeah, I think it was 2018 in Montana. Yeah, 2018, so 5 years.
Oh, shit.
And I think they announced 9 cities, or maybe it's 5 cities and 9 dates, or however it worked out. So I started looking at the cities, and I'm like, well, it's kind of towards the end of baseball season. I'll see what's going on baseball-wise. And a couple of cities, I was like, yeah, whatever. And I looked at Chicago, and then they're playing Chicago September 5th and 7th. The Chicago Cubs, September 4th, 5th, and 6th, are playing the San Francisco Giants. So I was like, oh. That's a no-brainer. So I've never been to Wrigley. That's a bucket list.
Have you been to Chicago before?
Never been to... Okay. Oh, sorry. I shouldn't say that. I think I was 1. My parents have told me the story of me being in Chicago.
Yeah. It was nice of them to take you to Chicago when you're 1.
When I'm 1, yeah. But the reason I feel bad about it is, did you hear about the ticket fiasco with PJ? The band that fought Ticketmaster over ticket pricing and gouging and yada, yada, yada all through the 90s.
Is this recent?
Yeah. So they also went with the dynamic pricing package or the premium package, I think similar to what Springsteen did. So these aren't resale prices. These were the actual verified fan ticket prices. If you want to be on the floor, well, we'll start with the lowest price. Behind the stage, which Pearl Jam always does a good job of.
Right.
Like, you've still got a decent view when you're behind the stage. Those started at $162 US. If you wanted to be in the upper or lower bowl, didn't matter, in front of the stage, $500 US. And to be on the floor was $1,000. Not resale prices. Those were the official ticket prices. $1,000 if you wanted to be on the floor.
Have they said anything?
No. Not that I've seen. And people are, I've been through a bunch of message boards where obviously there's a bunch of long-term fans that are not exactly happy with that.
Yeah, when you can't look up to the king of the working class in Springsteen or Pearl, the anti-Ticketmaster battalion Pearl Jam to help you at a pretty dire moment.
Exactly.
In concert ticket sales. Interesting.
So it was.
We still have the cure.
Well, we and yeah.
Who at least made an effort.
They made an effort. They still doubled the ticket price for the service charges. But
yep. Yeah.
So, anyways, I like. Then here's the problem. People are going to pay it, and I did. And you know, when I went in and looked, by the time I finally, I'm like, okay, yeah. I'll,
but you are behind
it's
the
already
stage.
Pretty well. It's almost sold out.
Crazy.
And yes, I am.
Crazy.
I can only afford even behind the stages. That's a pretty penny to pay.
That's crazy. So who are you going with?
It's myself.
Okay, cool.
I like doing that.
Yeah. Damn, dude. That's pretty disappointing.
Yeah. So.
Like, but you'll see Pearl Jam.
I'll see Pearl Jam.
For 3 hours, right? 2.5, 3 hours?
They're going to put on
a
show for sure.
And you'll be at a really legendary venue.
And it's tough. Like, what do you do? Like, if they don't charge it, scalpers are going to get it, and they're going to charge it anyways, right? So, like, it's frustrating all the way around.
Yeah.
Like, what would you rather? What's the answer?
I would rather, at this point, the way things are going, I would rather show a picture of my driver's license and only be given a ticket buy of 4.
And here's the other part of the situation. So Illinois has different scalping laws than almost any other state.
Right.
Like, it's really lax in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I decided not to go, I could very easily resell my ticket, no issues. Whereas all the other markets... There's no...
You have to do it through the Ticketmaster thing,
I
or...
I believe they're non-transferable.
Right.
I do remember,
because Arcade Fire... I think it was Arcade Fire had gotten a bunch of shit years and years ago for... Like, yeah, you did have to prove that you were the one that bought the tickets.
Yeah.
And they did have to implement a pretty extensive system for transferring the name owner or the ownership of your tickets, but... Fast forward 5, 6, 7 years, however long that was, at least of anyone's worries, I think, at this point, because that's fucking crazy.
And it's tough to, like, I mean, things do come up, right? Mm-hmm. Legit things do come up, and whether mm-hmm. there's a family emergency or a work shift that you can't get out of.
Yeah.
So what do you do in those circumstances?
Yeah, you're just out $100,
right?
I guess.
Yeah.
Fuck. That's wild, dude. Well, have fun.
Yeah.
When is that?
Not until September.
Oh, okay.
First week
of
September.
Well, do you want to take some homework with yourself?
Mm.
Did you bring me any homework?
I didn't. I thought I did the homework last time.
It
was your turn. Which, if you didn't catch the last episode,
rat,
we had a record in a bag,
rat,
and Patrick had 20 questions to guess, which he did on question 19. Go and check that episode out.
Well, we're not going to do 20 questions, but I am going to give you a blind choice. So I have 3 albums. And they've all been selected for different reasons.
Okay.
One is because it's just an album I've been spending a lot of time with lately.
Okay.
Kind of a retro album, though, something I...
And obviously things you're pretty confident that I haven't listened to before.
Yes, one of them is a little iffy. The other
So Crockett is not going to make the list.
Charlie Crockett. So one album is kind of
how does Steven feel about your disdain for Charlie Crockett?
We'll find out.
Okay. Oh, shit.
No, I did. I think we did have a conversation about it a couple weeks ago. But, okay, 3 choices. The nostalgic high school album for me.
Okay.
Which I know you've never heard of.
Yeah.
The live album.
Hmm.
Or the vintage influential record.
Ah.
Now, you can either choose 1, 2, 3 without that context, or you can choose based on what you just learned. What would you prefer? complete blind choice or a choice with context.
There's like, you'll give me more context?
Nope. Or you've got the context. You've got my nostalgic high school album.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You've got a live record.
Yep. Yep.
And you've got a summer record, live summer record. And you've got a vintage influential album.
Well, I want to do all three.
Maybe someday you will.
Maybe someday I will. Honestly, the first thing that jumped out at me, which typically would probably be my last choice, but I'm curious as to what makes this a great live album.
I was hoping for this. You want to go with number two?
Let's go with number two. Just because of the fact I'm not a huge live album fan, and I just want to know what is it that's special about this live album.
All right. So Pete's homework, the record that he's going to study studiously is the live record as your choice from 2003, the Central Park Concert. Dave Matthews Band.
Oh God! Do I have 8 weeks to prepare for this or what? Like,
part of me was tempted to make
a quadruple album
because it's the summer. I've been listening to a little Dave. It gets me in the mood.
Yeah.
And I know it's not summer yet, but you know what I mean. We had some nice days. I was so tempted to make all three options just different Dave Matthews live albums, but I didn't do that to you. But the chances that you actually landed on that are quite spectacular. So here's the thing. They're long concerts. They're 2.5-3 hour concerts. So you don't have to listen to the whole record. You just have to listen to one side.
Okay.
So we'll go over that. Central Park Concert.
Okay. And that was...
It'll get you ready for Wrigley Field.
2003. Okay. You said Central Park, and I thought, oh, Garth Brooks? Billy Joel? Who else has played Central Park with the famous?
Pearl Jam? I don't know. Probably for $30 back then.
Yeah, back then it was.
All right, well, the good choice. You want to know what you missed out on?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so the nostalgic record was an album I used to listen to in high school a lot called Mew and the Glass-Handed Kites.
Okay.
Like a Danish prog rock band. That's from 05. And the vintage influential record, which I thought maybe you've listened to, is from 1972. That's Egi Bamiyasi. By Can.
No.
The band Can? The krautrock band Can?
If you add the heat, I would...
No, so Can is a 70s krautrock band. That album, Ege Bamiyasi, which basically in Turkish is okra,
yeah,
has a song on it called Spoon.
Oh.
And the band Spoon is named after that song.
Oh, okay. There it goes. I didn't even know.
So you should probably just listen to that record anyways.
I will probably do that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know if it's the guy from Spoon or the guy from Stephen Malkmus. I think Malkmus said that he listened to that record every night for 3 years.
Huh. Okay.
So you should check that one out too.
The band Can with a song called Spoon.
Yeah. 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 There you go. But Dave Matthews, man.
No, I think I made, like,
hey, we won.
I think I made a pretty good choice there. I knew there would be some obscurity included in this list somewhere.
Anyways, enjoy your homework, and I can't wait to hear what you say.
Okay.
Or think.
And then we'll see each other at a show again when? Like, what's the next? Is Dirty Nil is the next?
Yeah, but we'll see each other before then. We'll see each other next week.
Where?
Here.
When?
In Communal Creative Studios, where you can watch all of our videos, all of our episodes, and other great content on the YouTube channel, Communal Creative Studios.
And a huge thanks to
producers Ryan and Riley. Shout outs. And you, Peter Michaels.
Dished out a little earlier. Patrick Bateman. If all goes according to plan, maybe we're here again next.
On a Wednesday.